Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Sri Tarasupit's Home, Text 22. Andat Puraiva Vadhiro.
Andat Puraiva Vadhiro.
Manda Pragyascha Sampratam.
Manda Pragyascha Sampratam.
Vishirna Danto Madagni.
Vishirna Danto Madagni.
Saraga Kalpam Udvahan.
Saraga Kalpam Udvahan.
Anda.
Anda.
Blind.
Blind.
Puraga.
Puraga.
Do I have a translation going on?
Yes.
Yeah. From the beginning.
From the beginning.
Eva.
Eva. Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Vadira.
Vadira.
Heart of hearing.
Heart of hearing.
Manda Pragya.
Manda Pragya.
Memory shortened.
Memory shortened.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Sampraptam.
Sampraptam.
Recently.
Recently.
Vishirna.
Vishirna.
Loosened.
Loosened.
Danta.
Danta.
Teeth.
Teeth.
Manda Agni.
Manda Agni.
Liver action decreased.
Liver action decreased.
Saraga.
Saraga.
With sound.
With sound.
Kapham.
Kapham.
Coughing with mucus.
Coughing with mucus.
Udvahan.
Udvahan.
Coming out.
Coming out.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
You have been blind from your very birth, and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened, and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. Purport. The symptoms of old age, which had already been developed, and Dhritarashtra were all one after another, pointed out to him as warning that death was nearing very quickly. And still he was foolishly carefree about his future. The signs pointed out by Vidura in the body of Dhritarashtra were signs of apakshaya, or dwindling of the material body before the last stroke of death. The body is born, it develops, stays, creates other bodies, dwindles, and then vanishes. The foolish men want to make a permanent settlement of the perishable body and think that their estate, children, society, country, etc. will give them protection. With such foolish ideas, they become overtaken by such temporary engagements and forget altogether that they must give up this temporary body and take a new one, again to arrange for another term of society, friendship, and love, again to perish ultimately. They forget their permanent identity and become foolishly active for impermanent occupations, forgetting altogether their prime duty. Saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation. For they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society, and almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints, although they welcome show-bottle sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiment of Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life, and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. Andak Puraiva Vadhiro Manda Pragyash Chasampratam Vishirna Danto Mandagni Saraga Kalpam Udvahan. You have been blind from your very birth, and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened, and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, and your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddha, Srimadevi Bhaktivedanta Swami Dharamane, Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vrijarane, Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sitarane. Most people will not like to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it seems to be quite a pessimistic literature. Especially those who are younger, they'll think that this is, maybe it happens to a few unfortunate people, but by modern scientific advancement, all these things will eventually be taken care of, at least before I get to become old. Right now, I have a good digestion. My teeth aren't falling out. I can remember more or less certain things. And I'm not coughing up mucus all the time. Therefore, this doesn't really pertain to me. When Srila Prabhupada was 1977, practically he was all bones and some skin covering his bones. And when the devotees came to see Prabhupada, who hadn't seen him for some time, they were quite shocked. But once, during one time, Prabhupada said to his disciples, he said, don't think this won't happen to you. Oh, Prabhupada, he's so unfortunate. See his situation. We're so fortunate we don't have to face such a problem. But everyone, we may be young, we may be old, but the body continuously changes. Whether or not we want it to, whatever we do in order to avoid such changes, still it constantly changes, and eventually it dwindles. Because as it says here, that's one of the properties of having a material body. One can't get a material body, and at the time of birth, unless you are the four Kumaras, or one of the four Kumaras, you can't keep your body 5 years old. Nor does it say what happens to the four Kumaras after the annihilation of the universe. Maybe for some time they can keep themselves 5 years old, but that's not possible for a person who doesn't have such mystic power. We were born and immediately we start growing older. A matter of fact, from the moment of conception, the body is continuously growing older, and growing older means that we're getting a little closer to leaving this body that we have. We may say someone's 1 year old, but what we're really saying is that they're 1 year dead. And no one can say, for instance, what an old person really means. Old person means you're about to die. And certainly in modern society, you may be 3 weeks old and your parents may be about to kill you. So you may be very old, although you're only 3 weeks. And 3 weeks may be the extent of your duration of life. Therefore, you're old. There are insects who are born at night. They live the whole night, their whole lives during the nighttime. And in the morning, they grow old and they die. So this sounds rather bad. Why did God create such a world where there are so many problems and they're all unavoidable? Practically speaking, these are the symptoms that anyone who reaches a certain age manifests if they're lucky enough to reach that age. Well, it's good that Krishna has provided some warnings. Otherwise, in the heavenly planets, or in the subterranean planets, for instance, in the subterranean planets, the sun doesn't shine there. And therefore, their light comes from the jewels reflected by the nagas, the serpents of the underworld. But everything is nicely lit up because they have a lot of jewels. And they have a very nice life, it says that their standard of sense gratification, opulence, is even greater than that of the heavenly planets. Since we don't know what the standard on the heavenly planets are, it's hard for us to make too much of a comparison. But at least it says like that. And in the heavenly planets, they have the Nanda Kandana forest, and they have Somarasa. You can drink Somarasa, and your life expectancy increases. Not forever, because even Indra, I think there are 14 Manus and one day of Brahma. So Brahma lives for 320, but one yuga, one Mahayuga, is equal to 4,200,000 years. So that's more or less the duration of, and if you multiply that by 1,000, that's the duration of one day of Brahma. So in one day of Brahma there are 14 Manus, and each Indra is reigning for one day of Brahma. So that's 4,300,000 times 1,000 divided by 14, which is approximately 60, and the 15 is a little bit more, 17. So 17 times 4 million is approximately 70 million years Indra lives. For Indra, it's quite a short duration of life. In other words, when you're having fun, time goes even quicker. It's when you're on the chair of the dentist and you hear the drill and there's no Novocaine in your mouth, there's no painkiller, time goes very slowly. He's applying the drill for half a minute, but it seems it was 6 months. On the other hand, it's the Sunday feast and your favorite preparations are there, and they seem to disappear even before you even lift them off your plate. So when you're having fun, time goes quickly, and when you're suffering, it goes very slow. So that seems rather unfortunate when the Yamadutas are dragging a person to the Yamaloka in order to be judged by Lord Yamaraj. On the way, one passes through many unfortunate circumstances. Fierce dogs are biting your legs. You're passing through hot sand on bare feet. It's quite a bit of suffering. And it seems like it takes thousands of years to get there. You're walking there or being pulled there. But that only takes a moment. But it's so painful that it seems to be taking thousands of years to get there. The greater the intensity of pain and suffering, the more time goes slowly. And the greater the enjoyment, Brahma lives for 411,040,000,000,000 years. And we find that when Kukumi went with Rohini to his planet, Kukumi was the son of Revati. He brought his daughter Revati to Lord Brahma to ask if he can make a match to have a good husband. At that time, Lord Brahma was listening to the Gandharvas having a musical concert. So how long is a musical concert? Maybe 15, 20 minutes they were playing. So Lord Brahma asked Kukumi and Revati to just wait a few moments while the Gandharvas had finished their concert. After it was done, he asked them what they wanted, and Kukumi requested that Lord Brahma find a good husband for his daughter. Brahma began to laugh, saying, "You've been only here for a few minutes, but during that time, so many Mahayugas have passed. And therefore, anyone who's ever heard of you has died. All your relatives have died. All your descendants have died. All anyone has ever heard of you has died. In other words, you have absolutely nothing. Or is there any question of finding a match for your daughter? You have nothing to give anyone. But if you leave immediately and go to the earthly planet, Lord Balaram is appearing there, and he's naturally the eternal husband of your daughter, Revati. Just a few minutes on Brahma's life, on his planet, and that was millions of years on our planet, Therefore, when we find out we have a few symptoms which are disturbing to us that indicate that we're growing older, a wrinkle somewhere that it's not supposed to be, we get very nervous. Does this mean it's actually happening to me? This is not fair. I've been chanting my rounds for so many years. I've been taking my vitamin pill. Why is this happening to me? Maybe it'll go away. Maybe that's the last one. No, there's another one. The gods don't love me. Krishna has abandoned me. But the fact is, that's the inevitable time. And it happens one after another. Just like it mentions here, gradually our eyesight will diminish and our hearing will become more difficult. And Manda Agni, that is the digestive system, depends upon the liver. As the liver doesn't supply the enzymes, the bile necessary for digestion, then our digestion goes on even more slowly than usual. And therefore, we can't eat what we would like to eat. We just can't keep on eating. And, you know, although our stomach is so big, we eat so much. And somehow or another, some by some miraculous benediction, something which is indigestible, somehow or another disappears after some time. And we're ready to eat some more. But anyone can notice what we could eat when we were 10 years old or 12 years old. Our appetite is not exactly on the same level. And we can't expect that suddenly there'll be an upswing. I'll start growing young again. Therefore, these are things that are meant to encourage us to gradually realize that we're not going to be here in this material world, in this body forever. And therefore, one should become more serious about Krishna consciousness. It's not arranged just to torture the soul, to just disappoint him life after life. God is thinking, yes, let us have these rebellious souls suffer. So I'll give them something nice, a nice young body, and then I'll take it away and watch them suffer. I'll teach these rascals. It's like you give a child, they're 3 years old, and you give them a piece of candy, and they're all happy, a big smile, and then you snatch it away from them. Because you enjoy watching them suffer and cry. Bengali gentlemen are like that, probably used to go up to these little children and pinch them. It said that Bengali gentlemen like to see little children cry. So it's not that God is like that. He gives us this candy to enjoy for a few days and snatches it away from us and watches us suffer. No, there's a warning. Just like if there's a fire in your house and the bell goes off, you don't think, oh, this bell is a disturbance. Shut it off. It's disturbing my meditation. Now it's a warning. If you shut it off, then it's for your own. You're taking a risk. It's not meant to disturb us. It's meant to warn us. Similarly, there are warning signs for many things. Even if one knows Nimittas. Nimittas means warning signs. There's a science of warning signs. Both auspicious and inauspicious. If we read the Ramayana or the Mahabharata, many of these things are explained. Or even the Srimad Bhagavatam, Arjuna, he had come back from Dwarka, and he saw that the seasons were not proper. It was cold during the summer and hot during the winter, more or less like we're experiencing. And he wrote there were jackals howling, because we don't need jackals, you just have to go outside. There's plenty of things howling. Things were falling out of the sky that shouldn't be falling. So he realized, think this is a difficult time. But we just take it as normal. There are so many bad omens that we don't even notice them anymore. There are so many symptoms going on in the body, even people who are 10, 15 years old, they have so many horrible diseases due to their mother's improper diet and lifestyle. Even from the moment of birth, what they're given to eat is abominable. Nowadays they have a baby formula, chicken baby formula, beef baby formula. We heard that in America during the 70s, when the hippies were thinking that LSD was a source of enlightenment, they fed in the baby bottles that they gave to the children when they were, just a couple of weeks old. They gave them LSD so that they could be enlightened at an early age. So we can't imagine. There are a lot of people walking around, at least in America, who were fed LSD from practically their birth. So they don't know which is left and which is right. And at a very early age, people demonstrate symptoms of old age and disease. But they're taken as normal. Different sounds going on in the body, just like people eat. The first signs of indigestion are, for instance, acidity. Acidity is not usually due to too much acid, it's due to lack of acid. But because people think, because if there's a lack of acid, therefore you don't digest the food, and the food rots and causes acidity. But people are told by the pharmaceutical companies that what you need is an antacid, but actually you're acidity is due to lack of acid. So then they give them antacid, but that's very good for the pharmaceutical companies because then you get more acid and then you need more antacid because you cut down on the digestive power, therefore you get more acidity. And instead of giving them HCL, which is more or less digestive enzymes, which will increase their digestive power, they give them antacid. And then finally people die of stomach cancer or something. But that's all right, because the pharmaceutical companies have gotten rich, and that's the whole idea of the pharmaceutical companies. So you have one symptom, you don't know what symptom, you don't know what it is, and you counteract it with something which actually causes more problems than solving them. So this is called ignorance. People are trained up. They have their passing gas, or they feel some acidity, or they feel tired after they eat. So what do? They take some pill in order to counteract the symptom. They don't think about the problem. So their teeth are falling out, so what they do is they get dentures. And now they have perfectly white teeth, so they think that it's an improvement. And they're all completely lined up. better teeth than they ever had in their lives. So they think, now I'm growing younger because I can look in the mirror and I have the best possible teeth I've ever had. So they take care of the symptoms, they turn off the fire alarm, and then they think everything's all right. There was one devotee told me his father, he was 85 years old, he had just had a triple bypass operation for his heart operation. And he was recovering, so his son, who was a devotee, he said, my dear father, maybe you should chant Hare Krishna. They're Indian family. He said, what? He said, that's all right. He said, now I'm all right. What do I have to chant Hare Krishna for? So we take care of the symptoms, we turn off the alarm, and we think everything's all right. Similarly, we're about to die, and gradually the symptoms are coming. Not only we have to wait till the last term of our life, but anyone can look at their body and see it's not growing any younger. And therefore, if we connect the dots, we'll find out where the dots are leading. Just like in our palm, anyone can look and see our lifeline. You see your lifeline? It starts between the index finger and the thumb. Everyone can look your lifeline. It starts quite strong usually, and it goes down, 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 down. And then what happens? It stops. So that's our future. We can tell everyone's future by reading their palm. It's right there. And we can guarantee your future is. And if not, we'll give you your money back. If you can come and take it. And in the meantime, once you try to, as the purpose of this is not to make people unhappy and whatever else, the emotion that may arise through the fact that they're realizing that they're going to die, the body's going to die. But it's to prepare one, it's to encourage one to prepare oneself before the inevitable destruction comes about. And at the same time, Prabhupada says, when someone tells the truth, then they'll throw bricks at him. And if someone lies and cheats and tells everyone, I have a magic formula, I can make you all into Peter Pan, you can live forever and never, never land, along with Twinkle Bell. Then they give them all their encouragement, all their money, everything they have will be utilized to support their show bottles, Prabhupada says. So-called saints, show bottle sadhus. But we should not be disappointed that maybe it's better to cheat people because they'll appreciate us, and if they appreciate us, they'll chant Hare Krishna. No, we tell people the truth, many of them will become disturbed. Of course, we should tell them some truth which will not disturb them. That's the art of preaching. Not that we go up to someone in the street, give them a book and say, this is a very nice book, it tells you all the symptoms of death. We heard about them in class. Let me take a look at your teeth. They look pretty loose. My dear sir, I think you should buy this book. Let me hear you cough. Yes, that's it. You really need this book. It might not be the best introduction to the book. It may be truthful, but generally people want to hear something encouraging. And indeed, we do have something encouraging to tell people, that this book will actually tell you about your future and how to make the best out of your life, how to become free from all anxiety. And then after reading the book, they may come to some part. Your teeth are loose. Hey, I was wondering what was happening. This book is really pretty good. But if we tell them on the street, they may take it as an insult. On the other hand, generally those who are so-called sadhus and so-called saints, they never say anything which will cut down on their remuneration. If you want to get, if you're an astrologer and you want to get a good donation from the person or have more people come to see you, you tell them everything that's good. You'll have, you know, 20 children, they'll all be rich and famous. You're going to live until you're 125, or maybe more, I can't tell, but at least that. So then people think, oh, this is a very good astrologer. He understands me very well. And if you say, like Katvanga Maharaj, after working for the demigods for so many years, he asked them, how long do I have left to live? Because they offered him a benediction. So they looked at his destiny and saw he had one moment left to live. He didn't say, well, I don't know, it doesn't look very good, but it could be better if you chant better or do some exercise. No, they told him the truth. So then he went down to this planet and surrendered to Krishna. Those who are fortunate, they'll hear the truth and take advantage of it. So generally we should tell the truth to people, but in the most palatable way, especially for those who are not prepared to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But I think I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
May I please ask, can you please tell us a few tips about presenting Prabhupada's books on book distribution?
Yeah, get people to laugh. Ask them who they are, you know, what you do. They, generally people only are really familiar with a few things. They know what their name is. They know where they come from, more or less, which country they're from, and the city they were born in. And they identify themselves usually quite closely with that. They know how many children they have, and they know what kind of work they do. And they, if you're familiar, they know what their favorite sport is. Beyond that, it's all very esoteric to them. Therefore, if you talk at least within that realm, then they can generally understand what you're talking about. Like, how many children do you have? You know, wow, you got a good family. Then get them to say yes, and get them to, you know, appreciate whatever they're, whoever they are, or whatever they're doing, whatever they have, appreciate it. And the other thing is get them to laugh. You know, tell them you're a monk. At least sometimes in certain parts of the world when I'm distributing books, like in Australia, I say, you know, after introducing myself in different ways and talking to them, to say, I'm a monk. And then I ask them, do you know what a monk is? Usually they say yes. And then I say, I'm a monk, I'm not a punk, and I'm not a skunk, I'm a monk. So if you say something funny to get them to laugh, then they feel good. And if people feel good, then they want to reciprocate and make you feel good. So when you ask them for a donation, they say, all right. And you say, are you from here? And they go, yes. Yeah. Are you working here? And they go, yes. Do you like football? Yes. Can you give a donation? Yes. So everything was positive. It's very difficult for them to say no, because everything, yes, 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 yes. Yes. So there are certain things you can learn like that. But the most important thing is just try to make them feel good. I saw those shoes, they look really good. You know, let me meet you. Because anyone who has those beautiful shoes that you have must be a special person. So I'm very happy to meet you. They go, yes, yes. Finally someone has realized. These people buy shoes because they want to be distinct from everyone else. They wear a t-shirt because they want to be distinct from everyone else. But no one usually acknowledges it. So if you're acknowledging it, their shoes, their t-shirts, something that they're trying to manifest to make them look distinct, and you recognize it, then they think, this is the most intelligent person I've met. He's actually been able to decipher my hidden language, my body language. The shirt that says, you know, I love Mickey Mouse. Wow, I saw that shirt, that's beautiful. Let me meet you. I like Mickey Mouse too. Yeah, we're friends. We both have the same interest in life. So keep it positive and don't say too many things. You get a couple of yeses, you get a little positive, then ask them for a donation. Because as soon as you get a negative, forget it. If you go like, do you like ancient Indian philosophy? No. Would you like to give a donation? No. So keep it short, keep it positive, get them laughing, get them in a good mood, then it's much more likely you'll be able to get a donation from them. And ask for the donation. Don't go, oh, could you please give a donation? I know you. I shouldn't ask for it. No, you know, and everyone's give a donation. If the person is really submissive, then give a donation. Tell them give a donation. And if they're not, you know, in a very nice way, everyone's giving a donation. Would you like to give a donation too? So there are many things to learn. It's an art. But generally, you should be enthusiastic, confident, and patient. Those are the three qualities. And aware of what's going on. You have to look at people, so you can have their bodily activities, their facial expressions. More or less, you can read anyone's mind just by looking at their face, what they're doing. Timing is very important also. You have to be able to time everything. When you ask for a donation, you just can't say, give a donation and stop. Let their mind go, you know. Give a donation, it's really nice to meet you because you're such a nice person and you're so intelligent. Couldn't you give a donation? Because we really need, you know, it would really help out. You just can't give a donation. Just give them time to speculate. Who is this person anyhow? What did they? How did he stop me in the street? Why am I here? You can't give them their mind time to think, to speculate too much. Anything else? Yes.
If someone has a job that's not directly connected to visual consciousness, how can we make it more, besides donating some money that we earn, how can we make it more connected?
Bring a poster to your work. Put it on a big banner where you're working at, the Hare Krishna mantra. Come dressed in a sari and cartels, have a little kirtan. During the lunch break, when the boss walks out of the office, start preaching. To all the office mates, why don't we love one and another, everyone brother and everyone? What to do? You have to avoid unnecessary prajalpa with your work, people you work with. Don't unnecessarily associate with them outside of Krishna consciousness, just to be so-called friendly with them. Don't be unfriendly, but don't go out of your way to be unnecessarily friendly and popular at the workplace. And don't take very seriously what goes on there, what people are doing. Don't take unnecessary interest and don't be disturbed by what they're doing. Just expect it. And don't reveal yourself, your mind and confidence too much. Because otherwise you get all bad advice. People will give you plenty of advice and it'll all be wrong. So engage in the six loving exchanges with the devotees and avoid trying to do that with the people who are not devotees, or else you'll get into difficulty. Don't look for too much respect and appreciation. Because in order to get that from the non-devotees, you have to be a non-devotee. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Poor permanent.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.